RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
The budget's coming up, and Muriel Newman's latest piece at the New Zealand Centre for Political Research is titled Budget Challenges. And Muriel joins us. Hi, Muriel. Thanks for coming back on RCR.
Thanks, Paul. Lovely to be here.
Before I want to get into the budget, something else that we've been hearing about, this Māori Ward issue, petition rights for Māori wards, and I know that you want to make a comment about that, and that's around the compressed time to make some sort of submission. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, yeah. So National announced a few weeks ago that they were going to restore the right for communities to have a say on Māori wards. They were going to require all those councils that had brought in Māori wards once Labor had abolished petition rights, are going to require them all to either rescind the right themselves, in other words, make a council decision to abolish the Māori wards, or they're going to ask them to hold a referendum at the next local body election, which will be next year. But the big issue is that the bill is now in front of Parliament and the time frame is very short. So what I just wanted to say is that if any of your listeners was interested in putting in a submission, submissions close on Wednesday night at midnight.
Gosh.
So, you know, there's a large number of people who are very supportive of this bill because we believe that councils don't have the right to make that sort of a decision without asking their communities. And so we're delighted that the petition rights are being restored. But if you want to have a say, you've got to get on with it.
Yeah. So midnight, that's in just over 2 days away. That's hardly any time at all.
Yeah.
You better
that's
get a skedaddle on.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, someone said that it was double the submission time that the public got when Labor abolished the rights, apparently.
Okay.
So there you go.
Oh, gee. Think about that. All right, let's get on to what you've been writing about, budget challenges. So the budget is this Thursday, I think. Do you think it's fair to say, Muriel, in your view, and who you talk with and read what they're saying, that the previous government has left us in a terrible state? And could we almost go to the level? Okay, I will go to the level. Kind of seems like some economic vandalism has been done here.
Well, that's right. It was a very interesting thing that the budget policy statement, which is released essentially by Treasury with the Minister of Finance, it actually outlined in there where, in fact, the government had done some pretty sly dealings, to be honest, the previous government, and they'd left the books in a terrible state. But they did it in such a way that it wasn't very obvious before the election.
Right.
And, of course, now that the books have been laid bare, of course, this new government is finding that the $3.5 billion that they thought was available for new spending, which Labor had sort of boasted about, it isn't there at all. It's already been used up in sly ways.
Yep.
And so that puts even more challenges onto the government to actually deliver what they want to in this budget.
Is that a dirty trick, Muriel, hiding things, obscuring?
Yes.
That's done on purpose, right?
Yeah. I mean, some of it may, you know, not be, if you know what I mean, to give them the benefit of the doubt. Some of it may be, you know, a bit of overspending here and a bit of overspending there that hasn't been accounted for. But the examples that were given in the budget policy statement were very clearly deceitful, really. And so I think just, you know, reading between the lines, they've found that in loads of areas that things weren't what they thought they were going to be. And it's made the challenges even bigger for National or for the coalition.
Sneaky, eh? Sneaky.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a bad way. Really bad.
Yeah, anyway. Really bad. Okay. Yeah, well, I said vandalism. Maybe it is. Mm. All right. So what room does the new government have to manoeuvre, do you think?
Well, I think what they've done, and, you know, they've been pilloried for it by the media, who seem to absolutely hate the government and want to destroy them, which is quite a bizarre situation for the Fourth Estate. but what they've been trying to do is they've been trying to create some headroom for themselves by reducing down, you know, spending that isn't delivering and programs that are not needed now, reducing staff from the public service. So they've been trying to ask the public service to look at itself and essentially remove the stuff that really probably has outlived its useful life. And by doing that, they are attempting to, you know, reduce the cost of government, and that will give them more, a little bit of manoeuvrability. The problem they've got, though, on top of that, is there's been a big decline in productivity. Now, New Zealand's always lagged behind many of our OECD partners in productivity, and that's not the number of hours we work, it's how much stuff we produce per hour of work, per hour of labour. And so you would expect productivity to improve over the years, you know, as technology gets better. But in New Zealand's case, it's sort of gone backwards. And that is a real problem, because it means that the long-term forecasts that Treasury has put together, they don't really work when you've got productivity declining. In other words, the profitability they expect in, say, next year or 5 years or whatever, it's not as great because our productivity is low. And I've been looking into that, you know, because right at the top of the list of things that can undermine productivity is regulation, government regulation. And you have to say that over the last 6 years, the Labor government has spent loads of time putting more stupid regulations onto people that eat up their, you know, they eat up the effort that should be going into making stuff and making their business successful. They're all, you know, doing all this ridiculous paperwork. And I reckon that they, by themselves, as a government, have helped to lower productivity in New Zealand across the board because of that.
I don't know much about economics or finance, but just you saying that, it's common sense that you keep saddling up red tape and excessive regulation on an ongoing basis. It's going to lower productivity. And so why do you do it and get it?
Oh, God.
I mean,
well, look, I think the big thing is Labor's had lots of agendas, right? You know, you take one of the issues that's cropped up in the tertiary sector, because the universities are facing, you know, pretty much a crisis in some cases, because the number of overseas students has dropped, you know, quite markedly,
yeah,
and their costs are continuing to grow. And so, you know, they've sort of been suffering really badly. And one of the things that is massive when you look on their websites is this whole diversity, equity and inclusion thing that they have to do now. In other words, you know, you've got to make sure your student body is diverse enough, you've got to make sure your faculty is diverse enough. If it's not diverse enough and you have to hire someone, you hire them because they are diverse and not necessarily because they've got the proper skills you need to do an excellent job. And so you've got all this sort of peripheral stuff, which is part of Labor's identity politics agenda, you know, treating identity instead of individuals and what they can do and achieve and all the rest of it. And what it's done is it's diverted organisations away from the core business to, you know, fulfilling these quotas that the government's put onto them. It's just ridiculous, and because it goes all the way through. And don't get me talking about some of the Maori requirements, the treaty requirements, because that's even worse.
Surely a university chancellor or financial controller, they're going to have nightmares and wake up in cold sweats the first moment they think there could be an exodus of these international paying students. That would be the nightmare scenario. Yet it's like no one thought of that.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's I think, to be honest, you know, the writing was on the wall, you know, the moment COVID hit and the borders started closing. And, of course, you know, because we took so long to reopen our borders, a lot of the students who would have come to this country, they found other places to go. And so a lot of the universities have had a really big struggle, you know, to get students. But they're doing other stupid things, you know.
That was a dumb move, closing offline. In hindsight, sorry to say, you can agree, disagree. That was a really dumb move to close off the country like that. Just so. Really dumb. Mm.
Yeah, God. I know. But as you say, you know, at the time, they presumably thought they were doing the right thing, just like locking us all up. When you look at that, the damage they did was terrible.
They're not smart enough to know what's really going on. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, universities like Otago University. I'm aware that they're losing a lot of their funding because they've decided to adopt a Maori name. And
Grant Robertson.
Gifted them this Maori name. What's that, sorry?
And Grant Robertson. People have cut money because he's been appointed there. So, you know, they don't know what they're doing, do they?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they're driven by different measures instead of the success of students and excellence of students. I think they've taken their eye off the ball, to be honest. And I think, to be fair, that's what 6 years of quite a domineering government has done. Mm. It's sort of transformed people from doing what they should have been doing to, you know, kowtowing to their agenda, so they don't get offside with quite a vindictive government. And I'm glad to say that has all stopped, but the effects are going to linger on for ages until, you know, because you think of any policy in, say, a big institution, you know, to turn that around, it doesn't happen in 5 minutes. And so this is the problem that the country faces. You've got a whole lot of underperforming organisations that have to up their ante. And the government is struggling to change the mindset of those organisations, particularly the public service institutions, but also the private sector as well, that's been heavily influenced by, you know, what's gone before. So they have to change the mindset of New Zealanders, and then they have to send very strong signals that, you know, New Zealand is open for business. We are going to improve our productivity. We're going to improve our performance. We're going to get the private sector to go gangbusters, because they're the ones that create the jobs and the wealth for the country. And it's a whole change in attitude that will allow them to do that. And I just hope that they're going to sell it strongly enough in the budget that people who don't realise what's been going on understand this is a new direction and we need to go down here if we want our country to prosper.
That may well be thought about in the back rooms, but like you say, it's how it's communicated. Do you see, you know, the ability to convey visionary, uplifting future messages as a leader should do in any of the lineup you see right now?
It's a challenge for them to start with, because the way they're reported is always negative. You know, you take television news at night, it is appalling. You know, the idea of balance has just gone out the window. If you hear the Prime Minister talking, if anyone allows you to listen to a speech that he's given or honest answers that he's given, he's actually very uplifting.
Hmm.
But hardly anyone gets to hear that, and that's the problem. He knows what he's talking about. He does have the vision. But the problem is he's battling a hostile media, and I don't know whether the government has found a way around that yet. There are ways around it, because otherwise we would not have had a change in government. We shouldn't forget that. You know, the only reason we got a change in government at the election was because all of these different groups, yourselves included, did the best job we could to say we have to have a change. And we succeeded, but man alive, it wasn't an easy job, was it? An easy journey.
It was a heavy lift and it was a close run thing. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, this government needs to realise that they are they're on the back foot, because not because of necessarily what they're planning to do and what they're promoting, but because of the filters that they have to go through to get to the public. And, you know, that is a challenge for them. But it's not out of, you know, they can do it, but they have to use different strategies, I think, from what other governments have had to use in the past.
Do you think it's acceptable under some circumstances, Muriel, when the security of the national economy is at stake and the viability of the tax base and all those things? Because, you know, the world seems pretty bad and seems to be sort of crumbling a bit, and we don't know how, you know, that layered on top of what we're experiencing locally will pan out. But if you've got a media that you own that is kind of putting that filter on the message in a way of trying to take what you're trying to do down, then isn't it fair enough to say, hey, man, we own you both. We'll pause you. We'll shut you down if you get in the way of this. I know it's extreme, but we can't have this info war going at this time, can we?
No, well, look, I agree with the principle of what you've said. I think that it is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there's a bit of an old saying about government spending that, you know, the government should not be funding what it doesn't want more of, you know. And so if it doesn't want more of this negative stuff, then they really should be looking at it. And you can't forget either that, you know, that horrible public interest journalism fund that really changed the media, the relationship between the media and the public in New Zealand. And it caused the media to lose the trust of the public, really. Of them are building it back again, and some of it never did lose it. You know, there's a few outstanding exceptions. But I'm talking mainstream media, of course. And but, you know, that fund still continues on until 2026.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, accepting it. There's no new rounds or anything, but it's still funding places and funding requirements like this one that, you know, the media can't say anything against Maori because, you know, they might lose their funding.
Well, you've got to have to pay it back,
Muriel.
They've got
to promote the flipping.
It's a loan.
Well, that's right. Yeah, and so, you know, it's just ridiculous. So we've got mainstream media promoting a treaty partnership that is a complete and utter lie, and yet they're continuing to spout it, because if they don't, they might have to pay back the funding. What a ridiculous situation that is.
And they're all in a tough business situation, so probably can't pay it back easily anyway. Okay,
well,
just up against time, Muriel, just a couple more things. I had Sir Roger Douglas early on in RCR on the show, and it was an interesting chat. And one thing he was very strong about, and that was I think he called it the unsustainable path of current social services and superannuation, and that they were in danger of collapsing given the way our population is aging, et cetera. And then I also think of the cancellation of the New Zealand superannuation scheme in 75. Seems like a epic lost opportunity, but that's history. So we have to get this as right as we can, otherwise even worse is ahead. Am I right, do you think?
Oh, look, you are right. Sir Roger has written a piece for me last week, and he's written another piece for my newsletter this week. And, you know, he points out really clearly that if we stay on the track we're on with pay-as-you-go super, the cost of the aging population, I think the numbers are something like there's 800,000 around about now of people retired. And by, I think it's 2070 or something, there's going to be 2 million. And at the moment, the ratio is 4 working people to every 1 retired. And by then, it'll be 2 workers to every 1 retired. Gee. And it's unsustainable. And Treasury have said as much, that by 2060, the system is going to collapse. And so what Roger is doing, and I'm really happy to work with him on this, what he's doing is he's presenting an alternative way of funding social services in New Zealand based on successful schemes around the world. And what they do is essentially, instead of funding institutions to provide, you know, all the social services, you fund individuals by giving them tax breaks, and they use that tax to fund their own super account in their own name, which will pay for health and education. The way it's set up, it will pay for the social services. And so what you're doing essentially, what Roger really wants us, and that's what the super scheme that he set up in the 70s was all about, that Norman Kirk introduced. It's funding individuals, empowering individual Kiwis to have their own accounts. When they retire, they'll have $3 or $4 million in their retirement savings account. And so there'll be no more of this terrible poverty in old age that we're plagued with at the moment, which is dreadful. People who are desperately in need of an operation or whatever, they can't afford it, they're struggling, it's hard. What sort of a country are we to have a scheme that delivers that? It's not right.
No, you're right. All right, so Thursday, just in the last minute, Thursday is budget day. Couple of bullet points. What is out of it? What do you want to see the most?
Well, I would like to see a reduction in taxes, because that'll be the thing that, number one, will help families, but also it frees up the economy. I want to see less of a government in the economy. So we need a limited government. We need a low tax regime. And we need, you know, anybody who's got great ideas to be able to go out there and set up their businesses and make a profit and do well, because that's what drives an economy. And I'm hoping that National will come up with something that sparks all of that and actually takes this country forwards in a way that, you know, you and I speaking here today, we can't imagine. But you never know what might be in that hat that the rabbit's going to pull out. You know, you just want them to be able to get the country going, because that's what New Zealand needs now more than ever.
Okay, Dr. Muriel Newman, thank you for coming back on RCR. What do you think of us being back? Quickly, Muriel, get your opinion on that, because you know what happened.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely wonderful. And I just want to say congratulations to all of those people who made it happen. Yep. You were sorely missed, and it's wonderful to have you back.
Okay. And the piece that we've just been referring to with Muriel on her New Zealand Centre for Political Research .com website was Budget Challenges. Plenty of them. We'll catch up again sometime soon. Muriel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, Paul.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.